Yo, Walk On Army, listen up before we start the show. I want to make sure that you know that tomorrow, Friday, April 7th, our spring merch drop, the Walk On merch drop, goes live. Yes, we have several brand new designs that would look great at any Iowa sporting event or just in the wild for you to rep the black and gold. And of course, we have our traditional Hawks by a Million items. We also have gear in the lineup that is perfect for summer, like tank tops, mesh, and performance shorts, and more. Follow our social media channels to be notified when the store goes live, or go to thewashedupwalkons.com. Another episode of the Walk-Ons, another incredible guest, another individual from last year's incredibly stacked Iowa defense. His name is Seth Benson. He was a linebacker for the Hawkeyes, and he joins us today to talk about his career, Jack Campbell, and a whole bunch of other things. Let's have a day. Let's go. Back with the Washed Up Walk-Ons, as Drake would say, the friendship podcast, ever so named. Drake's not here. He's on his month-long sabbatical. I'm not even sure what the word sabbatical means, but we have a guest that's far more important than Drake, far more important than Kevin, who will also be here in a minute after he fixes some old person's knee. He is known as, at least dubbed as, the most underrated linebacker in Iowa history by Captain Jack Campbell. Partially, in part because Jack was, he got a lot of praise. It's Seth Benson, everybody. Welcome to the show, Seth.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys having me.
I think this is going to be a fun one, mostly for us and our fans. Yeah, hopefully it's fun for you too. You don't feel like you wasted your time, but you're a guy who, and this may allude to kind of what Jack was talking about, you're a guy who wouldn't necessarily be found on the social media a lot. Probably not, or doing a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, I kind of just tried to lay low. Sorry about that. It took me a while to even respond.
You're good.
I'm not always too interested in doing stuff, but Jack came on and looked like a fun time, and I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Hey, if Jack can help us get more guys on the show to talk to, then we love that. But have you always been that way? Just kind of low key, head down, just do your work. That's always been you.
Yeah, I'd say so. I've never, but probably it kind of stems probably from my siblings. They're never big on social media or anything like that. And, I kind of probably just kind of followed in their footsteps and never really was really into that. And, just kind of stayed low key, and that's kind of, I like it. Just, do what you got to do and go from there.
That a Sioux Falls thing?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people on social media in Sioux Falls these days. It's a growing city for sure. Yeah. But just kind of how I roll, I guess.
Washington High School, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Are you a legend there? Is there a statue of Seth Benson there yet?
No. We got a lot of guys that came out of Washington.
Who else?
We had the Farniaks. He plays for the Cowboys right now. Nate Gary, I played for Nebraska. He just got signed to the Commanders one more year. Obviously a lot of guys go to FCS schools as well and stuff that.
You're probably the feeder school for South and North Dakota State.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of guys go to South Dakota State, North Dakota State. And then we got a couple good colleges in Sioux Falls, Augustana and USF. Are really good programs too. And then, we got a couple, I think we had a guy go to UND and then some guys go to NDSU too. So it's a pretty good spot to be in. There's a lot of great programs within 2 hours.
Were you guys a squad? It sounds like you guys had some talent. Did you guys make a run at state, or what happened?
Yeah. We won 3 championships my sophomore, junior, senior year. And then when my brother was there, with like Nate Gary and all those guys. They might have won two or three. Yeah, we have like the most state, it's like the football state championships in the nation or something like that.
I'm being educated. I knew nothing about Washington high school before.
Don't worry. There's a lot of going back and forth with guys in the locker room about this kind of stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
like we have no competition and stuff like that.
You're just playing a bunch of fucking,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, but guys who they pick up off the street.
They can say what they want.
There's a lot of guys in that locker room who have won a lot of state championships.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of good teams out there, but I don't know.
I don't think Jack Campbell never had a state championship. I know that.
He won in basketball. That's his.
Did they win in basketball?
Yeah. Oh, shit. He had some freaking guys on his freaking basketball
team. They were a squad going all the way back to when I played. They had some dudes. Speaking of championships, the Hawks were in one today. Did you watch the game?
I did. Yeah. Went over to like Lindy's apartment and with all the guys and watched it.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it was sad.
Dude, you probably didn't play basketball in high school, did you?
I did, yeah.
Did you? Were you a savage?
I wouldn't say I was like that good.
Were you like a defensive guy, effort guy?
Yeah. I mean, I'd score a little bit, but like we had some good guys on my team that definitely needed the ball a little more than I did. But my I kind of come from like my grandpa and my mom, they were really good basketball players, so and then my brother was really good at basketball too.
How many siblings did you have?
He's like an intramural freaking legend here right now. He's won so many championships.
Washington needs some more Bensons. They're like, where can we find some more of these guys?
My grandpa has had a lot of grandkids go through Washington High. One of my little cousins just committed to South Dakota State, and then another one of my cousins went to Louisville. She played basketball and volleyball for a year, but she just transferred back to SDSU too. So,
my God,
yeah,
you guys are...
Someone needs to write like an article about my grandpa or something one of these days.
This guy's genetics. What's going on? Yeah, that championship. Kevin, welcome to the show. By the way, maybe he's not in here.
I think it's still connecting.
Oh, all right,
gentlemen, how are we doing?
There he is. Seth said that it was way better before you got here, so I just want to let you know that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Did you fix the old people of Iowa City today?
I was down in Ottumwa, Iowa today, fixing the old people down there.
Ottumwa. Can't say that that's much that's any better than Iowa City. So I'm glad we got you here. Ed, pop in anytime you wanna ask Seth a question.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting me ask questions.
Yeah, I was just going to let you do your job. You know, I'm here to let you do your job, you know. What's it like as an athlete at the University of Iowa, Seth, over the past couple of years watching Caitlin Clark do her thing?
It's been insane. I don't know. It's kind of like, you just kind of see how big it's blown up this year, especially in like the NCAA tournament and stuff like that. But like, it's been going on for like you said, like 2 years, whatever. And we've all been watching it, but like kind of the whole world is seeing it now, which is crazy. It's been awesome. And I don't know. It's kind of crazy. That some of the stuff she does.
It's wild.
Also it's fun watching like Mon and Kate too. Cause like they came in the same classes in my class. So it's sweet seeing them out there balling and stuff like that too.
Did you make friends with a lot of the other athletes outside of football in your class?
Yeah. So like the wrestlers were, so like the first summer we were all in Dom, and that was just a great time. Like a lot of the athletes were in there. And then the wrestlers, I don't know, they weren't in there, or they weren't really in Peterson Hall either, but
they were practicing.
Yeah, probably. But then we all moved to Peterson, and yeah, we met other athletes too.
A decent spot, huh?
Yeah, Peterson's nice dorms.
Yeah, you don't know shit about Hillcrest.
Just eating there, that's about it.
Well, yeah, living there.
Now, did you guys still have like learning hours at the LC? They changed that up, right?
Yeah,
we miss athletes the most.
Yeah,
I never had any hours
ever.
No, they only like gave people hours if you were below a threshold or something like that.
Dude.
But it sounds like they may be changing it back. I don't know. But yeah, I never had any hours or anything like that.
When we were freshmen,
lucky bastard.
Every guy, 8 hours a week.
Even if you had like a 4.1 GPA.
Doesn't matter how well you're doing in class.
Yeah, they changed that. So that's good because that would have not been.
Do you know how much Netflix we watched in that place?
In the little TV rooms?
No, just on our laptops.
Oh, probably
we
a
would
lot.
Sit there and like have two screens open, right? You have like a Word doc open, act like you're writing a paper. And then because, you know, they walk around like it's kindergarten and they're checking on you. And then as soon as they walk away and go out of the room, you're just watching Netflix. It's like it was the dumbest shit we've ever done. So I'm glad that they changed it and you didn't have to experience that.
Yeah, no, I didn't have
back
to.
Back in the day, Monday was our off day. So we'd get a lift in the morning, and then I'd go to class for about, I had 3 hours of class afterwards, and then I'd go to the LC and watch Netflix until my computer's battery died, and then I knew I'd got half my hours in. That was my Monday routine.
Yeah, it was kind of a grind. So, Kev, we would have the afternoon practices too. And then there was times where you're like, damn, I still got 2 hours to get in. And you'd go there and you'd spend like 7:30 to 9:30 PM at the LC. And you're just like, somebody get me a shotgun. I mean, what is going on? I'm glad you didn't have to experience that.
Yeah.
What was your recruiting like? Were you one of those guys that was like, hey, I got an offer from North and South Dakota State. And then like Iowa found you late. Are you the prototype for that?
Yeah, pretty much. So I call it like the I-29 schools because they're all on I-29. But so I first got offered by like Augustana, which I talked about. Yep. That was like my first offer in Sioux Falls. And then went up to like a junior day in UND. And my dad had like new coach Bubba up there because they were like GAs or something like that.
Sure.
Back in the day, and we went up there and we were like just walked in and they're like, hey, like, you know, come over here, blah 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 blah. And like Bubba told my dad, like, hey, we're gonna like probably offer your son today. And then like he kind of like realized it that like he's like, oh, Chuck. Then he put like the dots together that like that was, you know, my dad that he had GA'd with back in the day with. And that was pretty cool. Yeah, so that was my first offer. And
when did that happen in your
What's
career?
That?
When did that happen in your high school career?
It was after my junior year.
Okay. So it was, yeah.
Yeah. Late. And then kind of from there, SDSU, USD and NDSU. And then I committed to SDSU and then Iowa. I was sitting in like my science. I was sitting in my science room. And I had Twitter back then and I was just like, looked at my phone. It was like, Coach Bell followed you. Coach Wallace followed you. Like Tyler Barnes followed you. And I was like, what the heck? And I like,
you were feeling something, huh?
I like clicked on it. It was like linebackers coach from Iowa, like recruiting Iowa. And I was like, what the heck? So then Coach Woods, you know, started recruiting me and then just kind of went from there.
Yeah, they like to snipe all the kids that the Dakota schools find. And then, you know, they just go and find all the kids that they've offered. And they're like, oh, well, maybe we can find some football players over here.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if you look at the FCS, like, NDS, like they're, I mean, pretty much always in the championship. So, like,
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of good football around that part.
So you had Coach Woods as your recruiting coach.
Yeah.
And he's a legend.
Yeah.
Did you like, do you remember the first time you ever had a conversation with him or he showed up at your school or anything like that?
The first time he showed up to my school, it wasn't for me.
Really?
He just walked in and, we were lifting weights and he'll probably say like, he was like there to like, look at me, but he definitely wasn't. We had another tight end, Zach Hines. He plays at SDSU. He was the other tight end with, up there and, he was like 6'7", good football player. So he was like probably looking at him. And then we had Farniak in my class, Will. So he was looking at him. He was offered by Iowa too. And like, I didn't really talk to him. But like saw him walk in, I was just like, dang, that's pretty cool. Like kind of like, he wasn't there for me, but I was like, that's still pretty cool. Like, I'm going to work out really hard.
Yeah, I'm putting so much weight on the bar today. Yeah,
exactly. But then, like, I think that was probably like that. I was younger, probably junior year, maybe. And then, yeah, that was the first time I met Coach Woods. And then kind of, he just kept coming to school and stuff.
Once they started to recruit you, right, you have these offers from the smaller schools. And I guess we can get into what your dream was, what you even thought would become of your college career, what you wanted to see in your college career. But once Iowa came into the picture, were there any other D1 schools that came into the picture? And then how did your mindset shift to, like, obviously they didn't offer you a scholarship right away, or maybe they did.
Once they started like recruiting, once I like, they follow me on not Instagram, but Twitter and stuff, like it kind of got rolling from there. Then, I took one visit to a bowl prep, I think. And then I got offered. Okay. And then I committed during basketball season. I know that.
Okay. I was wondering, like, cause a lot of the times the story goes like, okay, I now have to choose between offers to the Dakota schools or of similar stature, or a walk-on spot at Iowa. And I wondered, like, if it wouldn't have been an offer, would you have still chosen the opportunity at Iowa to walk on, or I mean, thankfully for you, you didn't have to decide on that, but it's always an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been tough for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Cause like we never really talked about that. Sure. Coach Wood never really talked about that. It was kind of like, you know, they were recruiting me. A lot of stuff, some guys decommitted and stuff like that. In my class that helped me, I think, get the offer. But yeah, that'd be tough for sure. Cause you know, I was really excited to go to South Dakota State. I have a lot of family ties there. I love Coach Rogers. He coached my brother. My brother played at South Dakota State, both parents, sister, brother. So that would have been, I'm glad I didn't have to decide that.
So this past season, what'd you guys win? 6-2 or 6-3 against, what was the score of that fucking game? That was like a family affair for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely interesting, especially with like, it was Coach Stig, we didn't know at the time, but Coach Stiggs last year, yep. Coach Rogers, and then Coach Rogers hired like, some guys that like played with my brother that now are their coach. And then I was like in the recruiting class, they're seeing like of with those guys getting recruited and like yep. recruiting guys to South Dakota State that now I'm playing against.
Yeah. I'm sure you knew a bunch of the dudes on the other side.
Yeah.
Was there a little extra juice for that one?
No, I wouldn't say extra juice, but, obviously one you don't never want to lose just cause
yeah.
all those guys would never let that down ever.
Ever. You would be 70 and you'd hear is there anything I don't know if it strikes me that there may not be anything that was able to like give you extra juice. You just were always 100% juice all the time.
Yeah, I try not to, you know, like go up and down with like games and stuff like that and whatever's on my plate. I just, you know, just all you can do is the best you can do, so might as well, you know, just go as hard as you can all the time. And then that way you never look back and be like, well, crap, you know, I probably should have went a lot harder there or
yeah.
took this a little more seriously. So yeah, that's kind of how I go about it.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
You got some early action as a Hawk. How did you? What was your mindset when you came in, and where did you see your career? I feel like a lot of guys nowadays, they come in and they expect playing time right away, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and if they don't get it,
hit the portal,
gone.
Yeah,
right. I don't want to sound like the old guy here, but when Kevin and I played back a decade ago when we were recruited, well, actually we weren't recruited. But when we came in, I feel like there was an understanding that the way things went was, hey, you earn your dues, you pay your dues for 2 or 3 years. And then if you've proven that you can be trusted and you're a good player, hey, you get a junior and senior year to start and show out.
Yeah.
Where did you fall on that spectrum?
More like that, for sure.
Okay.
Especially just being like the recruit, I would say, as I was like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think I got like a Rivals page, like after I'd committed or something like that. So like, yeah, that's like, funny. But, anyways, like, yeah, I definitely came in, and like you said, like Kevin and Ben and Josie and Bo were like just on their way out. And like, that's kind of like when you're looking at a school, you look at the guys that like, you know, are just kind of leaving. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of followed that like process.
Yep.
Josie probably played maybe a little earlier, but
he was okay. Yeah,
he was pretty good.
I think Ben actually played the most. He played a true freshman.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, because Ben wasn't actually in our class. He's
been blocking that punt all the time.
Oh my god!
But yeah, definitely just came in and like I didn't have really any like you said that I'm gonna like play right away. I in my head it was like I have to play special teams first. Like that is the first step,
mm-hmm.
And you know you kind of like start going through things and. Like going like your first stop is like summer workouts and like, you know, you just go all out and you kind of start like, you know, seeing how you know, compare to these other guys that you just met and are also really good high school football players. And you start like gauging things from there. And
you try not to get yelled at by a certain strength and conditioning intern.
I got a good story about that actually. So that first summer, it was you and Drew Heitland. And it was like one of our first probably conditioning days. And we're like out. It's like just the freshmen, right? You have all the first years in the same group, probably the 6 a.m. group. And we'd just gotten done. You know, like guys are like jacked up. Like,
yeah,
we just finished one, you know, good day. Everyone made it, whatever.
You make it sound like it's war.
Yeah, not in that way. Everyone
it is kind of war, though.
Completed the conditioning, whatever. And Kevin's out there, kind of like on the sideline, and we call it up, and one of the freshmen, obviously we're all freshmen, he broke it down like money on three or something like that.
No,
and Kevin comes over and he's like, "Are you kidding me? This is not how we do things here." Like, blah, 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 blah. That is atrocious. You break it down. Like, so then we had to break it down again. And yeah, that was like the first,
Kevin
first
was laying down the law.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though.
You'd be glad that fucking Doyle wasn't around when you broke it down like that.
Yeah. To the listener right now, I know what you're thinking. Like, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But, and I don't know if I can explain it to you. But Kevin and Seth and I all know that is a big fuck. That does not fly.
Yeah.
Money on three.
Remember that, Kevin?
Oh, I remember. You know what? I didn't remember it that great in detail until you just brought it up. But yeah, I got heated a couple times that summer. Actually, that was one of like the two times. The other time I blew up on somebody for they were struggling with conditioning, let's say.
Oh,
But yeah, that was an interesting summer for me, to say the least.
I forgot, Kevin, that you did that. Like, I forget that you went straight from us training into being an intern, and that's hilarious. Yeah. You mentioned like you get into that summer, and I know so well what you're talking about there, where you start to look, you know, you're showing up at the building, you're looking around the locker room. All right, how are these other guys, how are they behaving? And, you know, how are they going about their business? How much weight are they lifting? Right. In the beginning, it's like, it's a little bit, you know, there's some.
Oh, it's a measuring competition. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, for lack of a better term, it's a dick measuring competition, right? You're 18 years old. You were not most likely, if you're at Iowa or any other Division I school, you were the stud at your high school, probably in multiple sports. And now you're on a level playing field and you're not so sure if you're still a stud, right? Did you start to realize early on, like, okay, like where was your thought process? Were you somewhere like around like, okay, I'm better than I, you know, could have hoped for? Do I have a lot of work to do? Like where did those thoughts go early on for you?
I would never say like I ever thought that I was better than a lot of guys, but I mean, you have a lot of guys that can do a lot of things in the weight room and a lot of things, you know, here and there, but they just, for whatever reason, I don't know,
doesn't translate to the field.
I always just focused on like, you know, this is football. This isn't you know, weightlifting competition or things like that. So, you know, I was just having a good time with like the freshmen, meeting guys and just trying to work as hard as I could. And my freshman year, we had a lot of, you know, good seniors too. Like we had, you know, like Parker Hesse and Anthony Nelson and Matt Nelson. Like those were like the senior D line guys that were like super helpful. I was on like Gervasis and Easley's Hawkeye championship team. So they helped me and everything. So like just from there, then I think probably you get more feel like starting in skills and drills. Once that gets fired up and you're like actually playing football, you have a better sense of, you know, where you're at and things of that. So once we got to that point, you know, I was just ready to, I was just ready to start playing football and getting ready for the season and stuff like that.
So 2018 would have been your first year.
Yeah. 18,
19, 20, 21, 22. Do you technically still have a COVID year?
Yeah.
So Seth Benson's coming back.
I can't anymore legally, I don't think.
What was the, where was that decision process? How did that play out?
It was kind of a process, but I was just kind of, you know, ready to take the next step. And I just want, the big thing is if I came back, I just wanted to make sure my heart was in it 100% and I wasn't just coming back just to come back. And
yep.
And I would never want to come back and just to come back, and I don't know. So I just wanted to make sure my heart was in the right place. And, you know, I think my heart was ready to move on to the next step and see what I can do at the next level and go from there.
No, I totally understand that. There was, I think Kevin would echo this. He can talk on it, but you get to, you know, you come into college and everybody else is kind of doing 4 years, right? Because there's no red shirt. So you're already in that fifth season, which would have been yours last year. You're like, I'm getting older out here, you know, like, it's a significant difference. There is like some 23-year-old men, and now with the COVID years, some 24-year-old men playing football, and there's some 18-year-old kids who are playing on the same team, and maturity-wise, it is vastly different. And it's not necessarily a reason that you are put off. Like you said, it's not that you don't want to play for Iowa anymore. It's just like you start to realize my life like could potentially move forward a little quicker here. I can go on to the next thing and challenge myself in a new way. And obviously that's what you've been doing over the past 3-4 months, right? Training still. And
yep.
How do you feel body wise right now?
Pretty good.
How did you feel body wise while you played at Iowa?
Depend on the week.
I knew that was going to be a different answer.
Yeah.
You never had any, did you deal with any real bang ups or injuries?
The only time I had to sit out of practice was, one, it was actually both times was the day before bye week. So I had like a, hip point. All right. I separated my shoulder run down on kickoff 1 year. So I had to sit like a week. And then the next year I got like kicked, right? Like basically got a hip pointer. And I couldn't move for like a couple days. So I had to take a week there. But I was lucky it was right before a bye week each time. So,
wow. It's good timing.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe it speaks to, why there's a bye week too. Cause eventually you need a little rest.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that on the bye week, you woke up early and, took the truck and went somewhere into the woods.
Depended on the year, but yeah, for sure.
Who's the squad? Who's the hunting squad? Who would you go with?
I went with the Paulsons a lot when I was younger. Campbell,
Is Jack just an elite shot? Is he just good at everything?
It depends. I mean, come on. Guys.
Tell me he sucks at hunting. That would be great.
No, he's a good hunter for sure.
Oh, okay. Right.
Tell us one thing that Jack's not good at.
One thing Jack's not good at?
This is really...
Dude, the guy can't be perfect, all right? He's got to be bad at something.
He said
video games.
You might have listened.
I don't know.
Yeah, you said you listened to the podcast. I don't know if you listened to him talk about conditioning. Maybe it was the same for you. He said he could go all day.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't tell you he ran with the skills, did he?
The what?
He ran. He didn't run in with the mids or the semis.
He ran all of his conditioning with the skills.
His last year, yeah, he ran.
What a fucking asshole that guy is, huh? Are you kidding me?
He holds his cards tight to his chest. That's for sure. He doesn't. You got to be real close to him to.
Here's a slightly more impressive thing that you probably don't care too much about. But when Anthony Nelson, you mentioned Anthony. When he was a young guy, obviously a lineman, right? He jumped not just to the semis, but he would run with the skills.
Yeah, I heard that.
Dude, I mean, this was before he put on a bunch of weight, but that was dumb.
Yeah.
Like my fat ass was still struggling with semi times in my senior year, and Anthony Nelson is just dusting people. It was stupid. Jack, what do you think about Jack saying that he would want to get into politics after football?
Okay, so that is something he never... I think he mentioned it maybe one time, but I've never heard him say that. So that was pretty interesting.
What do you you think he'd be a good politician?
Oh yeah, people would love him. He'd just do whatever is good for the state of Iowa because he loves Iowa so much, and
he was
that's what he'd base everything on. Best thing for
the state of Iowa? He was huge on Iowa when he came on the show. Like he has a real sense of patriotism for the state. Like he loves this place. It's honestly inspiring to listen to him talk about how much he cares. So you realize that things aren't so bad early on in your career. You realize you can hang. And yeah, I can make these times. I can lift with these guys. Then you get on the field. You actually see action in three games in 2018. And then 2019 rolls around. And dude, you're playing, bro. Like you are full on. Was it a slow build into, you know, you kind of realize like, oh, I'm going to be a part of this thing, or did it kind of sneak up on you like, holy shit, I am a vital part of this team now already year two?
Yeah. So year two, I don't think I played really any linebacker year two, but year three was when I started playing linebacker. Year two, I was on all special teams.
Yeah. That's what we call around here a savage back.
I wasn't on punt though.
Oh no, the most important unit.
Man. I wasn't on punt till my third year.
What were they doing?
I don't know. Coach Woods, I guess he didn't trust me.
Holy smokes. Dude. Coach, you seem like the kind of guy that Wallace would have had at the front of the room. Now we got some fucking dogs around here. right? This fucking guy, Seth Benson, it's the will versus the want.
Will versus the want.
He still said all that shit, didn't he?
Oh, my gosh. You got to want. We got a lot of guys in here willing to. Yeah, it's the same. Yep.
Fucking Ward in the back. Kevin, I love your last name with the R was perfect for Coach Wallace. Ward. Ward. Fuck.
Yeah, he's so, very hard on the R.
Valdosta State.
What was your favorite acronym of Coach Wallace's on that little board over there in the linebacker's room?
Probably SSOH or NDH.
Mm. The old NDH, huh?
NDH.
I think he
that might be a new one.
I think he took the NDH down, though.
No, that's no dickheads, right?
Yeah. Oh, DH, yeah, that's a good one.
It's funny now because we actually have an extra podcast called Dickhead Tuesday. But, Coach Wallace right, is the guy.
I got a question for you. You bounced around a couple of different positions at linebacker. Which one do you feel like fit you best, and which one did you like? Which one did you like playing most?
I don't know. I didn't really care, honestly. Like. In 2020, I started at Mike.
Did pretty good.
And then when Campbell came back from his thing, we rotated. And then,
oh, that's what Jack is bad at. His immune system sucks. what did he have? Mono?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I can't even call him a pussy. He's not, but,
And then I played Will. And then this year I played a lot of Leo actually. But I don't know. Mike was fun just because you're in the action so much. Like you rarely remove from the box. You're making
a lot of blocks,
making all the calls. Mike was fun, but Will was also a lot of fun too.
You seem to do pretty good at all three.
I liked the Leo, but like, I mean, sometimes you're just like, gosh, I just want to be in the box. I want to, tackle. I don't want to just be standing out here like, let's hit somebody in there or something, you know?
You don't like just guarding 1,000 bubble routes that never get thrown.
And then the one time they do, they got a tight end out there, and yeah, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah. All right. Second follow up question: which one's worse for 9-on-7? Would you rather take on a 23B? As a Will linebacker or a power O as a Leo?
I'd rather take on a power O.
Interesting.
Hard to, all right, yeah. All
right.
Yeah. Because the power O, you can kamikaze in there. And if you're on the ground, you're probably going to take the guard and the fullback and they're going to tell you good job, but maybe, stay on your feet. But if you're on the ground as the at Will on the 23B, like, it's like 1v1, like, and if you're on the ground, you know, it's kind of GG's. So it was kind of fun just flying in there at Leo.
He said it's kind of GG. Good game. Fuck. You said you separated your shoulder the one time. Dude, taking on 23Bs, doing blocks drills, doing 9-ons, your body didn't feel good often. Like, do you remember any specific hits that you took from anybody on the offensive side of the ball? Like Drake always talks about this hit that he took from Anthony Gare, who was a safety when we were there. Is there any that come to your mind in a practice or that you just walked away going, dude, I almost died?
One time, I think it was the first B play with Monty, like my junior year. And like, like B plays, they can get clouded up and you're just like, but this one just separated, right? Oh. And me and Montre, here we go, like full speed, like we're roommates, like we talk about, like, all right, we got like 8 B plays coming tomorrow. It depends how practice goes, might be 12 B plays, So we're just running full speed and just freaking, like solid contact. And after, right after that, you both kind of just look at each other like,
oh, like, what are we doing with our lives?
And then, you'll probably get one the next rack, and then you're go to Pass Indy and go from there.
You just go from there.
It's always an interesting dynamic, man, because I feel like the fullbacks and linebackers are always friends, but cause the most violence towards one another. Like, Drake and Joe lived together, and it was just, tomorrow we just got to give ourselves CTE, so let's just be killed tonight, I guess.
I think that's what it is, Kev. I think it's some of that that mutual respect for the job. Like, you both know what you're going through, and there's a little bit of misery loves company, right?
Yeah. They call themselves a T-backs room. The linebackers and T-backs room had a lot of respect for each other for sure.
Quick break to give some love to one of our biggest partners right now. That's right, you guessed it, pork. Bacon, ground pork, ham, pork roast, pork belly, ribs, pork loin, pork shoulder, and pork sausage. You name it, you're probably hungry now. Nutritionally speaking, animal proteins are top of the line. They are nutrient dense and satiating, helping to promote less overconsumption of calories and a better body composition. Pig farmers today are raising more pork using less land, water, and energy than ever before. And the manure from the pigs is then used to fertilize next year's corn crop, all in an effort to continue to try and become more efficient. We've mentioned multiple times how before we ever came into this partnership, my personal favorite stop at the state fair every year was for a pork burger at the Pork Producers Building. And every home game against Minnesota, Kevin and his family bust out the best pork chops available. The walk-ons and pork are a match made in heaven. Put some pork on your plate today.
You get in there 2020. 2020 was weird, huh?
Yeah,
I just talked with I was actually in Iowa City today, doing a kicking camp with Keith and Shudak. And Shudak was telling me all about there was a weird period of like trying to figure it out. Coach Doyle scrambling, trying to get like people racks in their garages to lift weights.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he said for a while, for basically an entire year, it was online classes. The curriculums were getting like cut in half. The homework was getting cut in half. Everything was online. And that it was like, there was actually a part of COVID for you guys where you guys were chilling. And so I'd love to hear like how you guys navigated that, what you thought about the COVID season, no fans in the stands. What was all that like?
Well, honestly, it's probably a good thing that, at least for me, that happened, or else I probably would have never played.
Really?
Because COVID, we had two guys graduate the year before. We had a linebacker that transferred. We had a linebacker that like stopped playing. And then Jack got mono. That's five guys. And then I played.
And then they were like, ah, fuck, we got Seth, I guess. We just throw him in there.
We'll throw him in there. Yeah, so that's how that happened. So
you don't think in your junior or senior, your final 2 years, you would have been able to elevate to a spot?
Maybe, I don't know. But I just look back at that and I'm like, holy cow, that was kind of crazy.
That it is wild. There was a lot of things that happened there that kind of moved you along. But there's something to that, though, as well, Seth, where, the attrition, for whatever reason, right, whether they quit or they graduate or they move on, like, there's some staying power within you that you have to kind of recognize and respect. Like, oh, I'm here. I'm still here, bitch. Like, you can't, you're taking shots. You're not getting the playing time you want maybe at a certain point, but you stick around and stick it out. And I mean, there's so many stories like that. So that kind of speaks to your resilience. I mean, it doesn't seem like you're the kind of guy that would have been super down about that. I feel like you just would have put your head down and kept working.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But I guess never know what would happen.
It's kind of crazy. Come in, Jack is sick. So yeah. It's you who played. Who was next?
So I got COVID the first game. So,
oh shit. I
was out. It was like, who played that game? It was Neiman. It was B Wade and Justin, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was crazy. Like, we got sent home for like, I can't remember. It was a while. Me and my brother were just always in the basement. He was in dental school. So he was doing school online. I was just down there doing whatever I needed to do that day. And then we played so much ping pong. Like, we got really good at ping pong.
Really?
It was crazy.
You're not a video game guy?
We played video games too.
Okay.
What else did we do? That's when I started growing my hair out.
You had the luscious for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I would wake up and me and Monty would work out. And then we would have some, like Hawkeye Championship meetings. We'd have some meetings with Coach Wallace.
Yep.
That's about it.
I mean, you were chilling.
Yeah, we had nothing going on.
I mean, you had to be bored at some point.
Yeah, I would have been really bored if I couldn't have worked out with Monty and if my brother wasn't home, for sure.
Dude, how sick was just it to be able to bro out with you and Monty? Like, I want to work out with you two.
it was a lot of fun. We just, you know, I would either go to, I went to West Line a lot. I just drive up there and work out at West Line with him and his boys, and then we'd run on his field and stuff. And then sometimes we would do stuff, you know, like my house or whatever. It was fun.
It's crazy. You guys,
I'm pretty sure I was driving by Fink Pine one time and I saw a shirtless Monty Pottybon with his mullet flushed and flowing. Did you work on the grounds crew with him at all?
No, I didn't. I did not. But yeah, that was definitely him.
It was quite a sight to see. Let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah, stallion.
What is it about that guy? He's a one of a kind.
He's just a bro. He's just a good dude, man. He's just you know, he's from Northwest Iowa. He just
give me the best Monty Pottybon story. Like, is he the kind of? I feel like he. You don't know Drew Ott probably, but I feel like Monty's the kind of guy who, you know, he wakes up, he cracks a couple raw eggs into the cup, and just, you know, because he doesn't. Cooking them takes too much time. It's just inefficient, right? So you just slug the raw eggs. You know, he's wearing like jorts and a cutoff at all times, and that's just him, right? Like, is that close, or is there some more to Monty that we don't know about? Because he's a quiet guy too. Both of you guys, I feel like you guys talk like when you were having conversations, you're in a library. Like, you guys are just so soft spoken, but then you bring the absolute fucking boom when you stepped on the field. It's just this weird dichotomy. There's a contrast there.
Yeah. He's not like, I wouldn't say he's like that much like Drew Ott, but I mean, he's definitely got some of that in him. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good Monty Pottybon.
Maybe there's no Monty stories. Maybe he's just kind of a chill dude.
No, there's a lot of them. I just don't know if I should say him on here.
if you don't want to dog him, we don't have to dog him.
If he connects with a golf ball, though, I'm telling you, he could hit it 800 yards.
Guy can smoke it.
Oh my gosh. But if he misses it, he's going to hit a house like 200 yards to the right. He slices the crap out of that thing.
That's amazing.
Were there a decent amount of golfers on the team when you guys were around?
Yeah, I mean, in the summers, especially the guys that didn't have class, they just hit the links, and we did a couple like charity events too that were pretty fun.
Yeah.
But no, dude, he's so powerful. Like, he's got the Hank Clean record. Like, when I went to West Line, he had the Hank Clean white record there.
Of course.
So anything that like correlates to like a good hand clean, he's just like,
just explosive.
Yeah,
dude.
Were you guys still hand cleaning like pretty heavily and regularly throughout your whole 5 years, or did it kind of taper off towards the end of your career? I know like, the strength staffs, a lot of other, strength staffs out there are kind of starting to go away from the hand clean a little bit.
No, it was probably the same as like what you guys did.
Yeah.
We definitely had a heavy hand clean day.
Makes it feel good.
Yeah. I mean, like definitely we definitely came in and had heavy hand clean. Like, yeah.
I know they're still doing it. Cause I just saw and commented on was it Logan It was Logan Jones put up a
hand clean insane amount too.
I think he had 420 on the bar, and I think he might have done it for all I know. As I said, I commented and I said, "Tell me you hit this for five," and all he did was like the comment. So like, dude,
yeah,
that shit is insane. Any other freaks during your time that you can remember? Just like, you know, you're just in the weight room and you're like, what is going on? Like, how is this even possible? I've heard that Jennings Dunker is just absurd.
Yeah. For sure him. He would be the number one, like, right now. But just, like, Julius Brents, like, vertical. Like, he just hang in the air for, like, Float. 2 seconds. Yeah.
He's about to get drafted.
Yeah. Riley Moss had the craziest RSI I've ever seen. Monty's hang clean. Worf's hang clean. Like you said, Lojo.
That's kind
of... Yeah, that's what we call him.
That's sick.
Guy and then merch. There's some guys that, like, just on testing day, they'll just, like, crank out, like, 15 reps with, like... You're like, what the heck is going on? And then they get bumped, and then they, like...
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. Were you a big fan? Did you enjoy the competitive off season with the Hawkeye Challenge and all that? Was that fun for you?
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I was on a lot of, like, good teams, which makes a lot more fun. I'd say. I was on a lot of good teams. So that was.
What made the best teams in your opinion for the off season teams?
What made the best teams?
Yeah,
I would say. Definitely like a team that would like communicate and like actually like text the group message and stuff like that when like either they messed up or like, you know, rather than just like the captain texting all the time, like the best groups I had, like just had guys that would just text in it, like reminding guys of like meetings and stuff like that. And then I'd also just say like guys who like all I feel like all my guys cared like, and like just gave their best effort. Like, they would do whatever. They'd drink a lot of water if they needed to, or they'd go in the sauna if they needed to. And, on Mondays and, whether that's, I don't know,
they did what they needed to do.
Yeah. And I was fortunate to be on a lot of those teams.
I think what you hit on there is, and it's something that can come top down, is at least in our experience, it was always the captains and the co-captains who best displayed the importance of the off-season competition to the younger guys and the rest of the guys on their team. They made it important, and they showed through their action that it was important. And then that, in turn, created buy-in from every other guy on the team, because now you don't want to be the guy who fucks up, right? And... when you have that, you have ultimate accountability, and that can get you a lot of points in that competition. So I would echo that. What's this last 3-4 months looked like for you? You enjoying life right now?
Yeah, I just pretty much train and work. That's about it.
What do you do for work?
I work for like a builder. He builds a lot in North Liberty right now.
You're just building houses?
Like he's building like fourplexes right now.
Guys training and building houses. Tell me there's nothing better.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Is that what the future holds for you after football?
Yeah. So I was actually going to school to be a dentist, but then
really
I kind of just got schooled out and, kind of at the end, you know, hopefully make a, you know, run in the NFL and stuff like that. And then, a lot of people in my family have, you know, like apartments and stuff like that. So it's kind of what I've known growing up, and, you know, my dad manages apartments and things like that. So that's probably, you know, kind of what I'm going to do when football's all said and done.
Love it. Or, and I think you should really consider this, running mate with Jack Campbell.
They already got Anger.
I texted Anger because by the way, the t-shirt's coming out tomorrow as you guys listen to this. And Anger said you should pick somebody better than me. That's more relevant. And so I think Anger is going to turn down the nomination when the time comes for them to run for office, and we're going to have to find somebody else to run. So you're probably going to have to do it. What do you think about him calling you the most underrated linebacker in Iowa history?
I don't know. I think he always says stuff like that. And I feel like he just tries to like get under my skin sometimes.
You think that's him getting under your skin?
I don't. He said he models his game after me. You know, he's just like, come on, Jack.
I don't know. I think he genuinely respects you, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd say that. But like, sometimes I'd be like, Jack, you don't mean that. He'd be like, oh.
That's unbelievable. Fuck, that's funny. G Money.
Like, if I say anything good about him, he always thinks I'm like being sarcastic, and it's like, dude, no, I'm not.
You guys are, you know what it is, and I would never. The whole audience is gonna nod their head in agreement here, but you guys are just too humble, and I don't know anything about that. But you guys are just too humble. Like, you guys aren't the guys who are gonna have a podcast and talk about your careers that are over, right?
Yeah, I probably won't.
You're like, I'm never gonna have a fucking podcast. G Money, come in here, unmute yourself, ask our guy Seth a few questions before we let him go.
Okay, yeah. So, growing up in South Dakota, obviously no NFL team. Did you grow up rooting for a specific NFL team that you might be hoping picks you up here in a few weeks?
So funny, you got that flag behind you. My aunt and uncle lived in Denver.
There we go.
So I actually grew up like a Broncos fan. Like the Vikings just because they're close. But yeah, but a group Broncos fan. But once I got to college, I just kind of like guys that, that Iowa guys are on.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I would love to watch you play for the Broncos. That would be an absolute treat. Other thing though, so I saw that you and I think it's three or four other guys all signed with the same agent. And I don't know much about this part of the NFL kind of draft process. How does that kind of work? Did you guys get like a group deal or something going with him? Or like, how does that NFL agent process kind of work?
No, I mean, so, agents kind of start reaching out and, everyone just kind of talks to him, sees, who's the best fit and things of that nature. And, the big thing for me is they represented a ton of Iowa guys. And that's kind of the main thing that I wanted to go for them. Cause a lot of the guys that are from Iowa had a lot of success in the NFL and, so they never like reached out to us like collectively, but it all just kind of worked out where, they were taking this many amount of guys. And, I think a lot of them were, they love signing Iowa guys. So.
At any point were you considering like a Lamar route of just no agent? I represent myself.
No, I couldn't do that.
No, you're not negotiating your own deals.
Yeah, and I'm probably not to that level of being able to do that. So
okay, that is fair. And then this is kind of a this might be an outdated question, but so I have a friend who is an athlete and is a big fan of Athletes in Action. Okay. I would. Do you still go to that at all, or like at least I know you're done with school now, right?
Yeah, I'm done with school. So
okay, so yeah. Like while you like in the fall and while you're still in school, did you go to that for multiple years?
Yeah. So I was involved in Athletes in Action. I was like on the leadership council for a bit and stuff like that. Oh, really? So
okay, yep. Yeah. And so then in working with Athletes in Action, is there any athletes from other sports potentially that you were really impressed with or you found really interesting? Just like any like people that you met in there, you were like, oh, I didn't know about this person, but this is going to stick with me.
Let's see.
Grant with the good questions, huh? So,
yeah.
This guy goes deep.
There's just a lot of, there's a lot of just athletes that you meet at Athletes in Action, and it's just great to be able to like talk with them. And I met Max Murren there, and he's a really good dude. I like Max a lot.
Did you ask him to wrestle?
I'd say him.
You should have asked him to wrestle.
What's that?
You should have asked him to wrestle.
Oh no.
Do you think that you could stand up out of a Spencer Lee if you were on the mat. You're down position. Spencer's on top. Can you stand up out of a Spencer Lee hold?
I never wrestled, so I'm going to say no.
God damn it, Seth. You're supposed to say yes, dude. Easy money.
I know, but I see we've had these talks and we're friends with wrestlers and they say like Spencer has like angles and like he's too good, I think. But I think if it would be different if it was like someone who was a really good high school wrestler.
Of course.
Like my size. Yeah.
What's the
you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. What's the before we let you go here, what is the as you look to make a name and find yourself at the next level, what in your eyes do you have to prove when you get into a camp and you get a shot?
I think that, I don't know, just be myself, really, just, you know, play good football and, you know, give it all I can. You know, just learn the playbook faster than other people can and take the meeting to the field better other people can and just do it that way and show that I'm, you know, playing special teams and stuff like that. So
learn to long snap.
I can long snap a bit, but yeah.
You can snap a little?
I mean, after practice, we mess around and snap with like Buddy long snap.
Yeah, let's go. Sounds like the little things. I hear the slight edge coming through. That's what
you
I
want
hear.
Another good Kevin story?
Yeah, give me a Kevin story all day long.
Oh, all right. Hit me.
So it's my first camp and we're at the Marriott, right?
Oh.
And I'm roommates with Nick Neiman. So we're about to lay down for the night. And you know, get some sleep before we gotta get up in the morning, and all of a sudden we just hear this banging on our door. Just like,
Oh shit, I forgot about this.
And I think I answered the door. I answered the door, and all of a sudden, Kevin and Bo just like storm into our room. And they had been down at, I think, did you guys crash a wedding or something? And they'd, you know, been drinking, and they just come in the room. They're like, house camp, blah, 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 you know, like, and we're like,
I forgot about that, dude.
You guys know, like, what our room number was. And they're like, oh, we called the front desk. We said we're Coach Wallace, and we asked what room Benson and Neiman were in. So the front desk told them what room we were in, and they just come storming in. So the next day we get to meetings. We're like, Coach Wallace, like, guess what happened last night? He's like, what? And we're like, told him the story, and he's like, of course, he takes it this way. He's like, see, guys, when you're done here, you're going to want to come back. Blah, 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 blah. He's like, you're going to miss this stuff, you know? And I was like, oh, my God.
Like, that's your takeaway, Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had called him the night before. I don't know what me and Bo were doing beforehand, but we used kind of gotten that stupid mind. But, yeah, we had called Wallace the night beforehand. He was laughing about it. But that is absolutely hilarious. He takes it. Presents it back to you guys in that manner.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
That was
funny. Oh, shit.
That's funny. Well,
yeah. Oh, man. Good times. Good times. Yeah, I think we went and visited Welch that night as well. Who else? and Brady Ross, I think. We went and pounded on a few different doors that night.
You're off.
It wasn't that late. You weren't going to bed. Don't cry.
It sounds like they were going to bed.
They were not going to bed. Their lights were on.
Well, it was Nick and Seth. They're two good, humble kids just trying to get some sleep, you know? Seth, we appreciate your time. Appreciate you pushing this back 45 minutes so that Kevin could do a little work. And we appreciate you being a Hawkeye. You're one of those guys that, like you said, not a lot of talk. Probably won't see him on a lot of other podcasts, but you put in a lot of work for the black and gold over the last few years, and Hawkeye Nation really enjoyed watching you play. So thank you for that, and thank you for coming on the pod.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
Amen, brother. It was great watching you grow up, play, and represent the Hawks the last 5 years. That's the guy that makes the crowd worth black and gold.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Hawks by a Millie. Episode 400 and... 410? I have no fucking idea. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.